forth, O me, close with thy fire divine.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Church, 4 of us went to annual conference, and we will do a little bit of a presentation to talk about it. And Frank will start, and Elisa, and I will.
Several months ago, I received a phone call from Pastor Paul, and he said something to the effect of, "I have a request to make of you." I said, "Of course." And then I said to myself, "What did I just say?" But then I remember from my years of being on a nomination committee, one of the hardest tasks you have to do as a committee member is trying to get people to volunteer. So you always have that trepidation that you have, the hesitation, so that when you ask the question, There's a moment of silence, and eternity passes through, waiting to hear the person say either yes or no. But when Pastor Paul called me, I immediately said, yes, of course. And then he said, would you like to be one of the lay delegates to the annual conference? Again, I said, yes, of course. And so this was my first conference, and I had some reservations because I knew that some serious issues were coming up, and it weighed heavy on my heart. But I attended a conference, and then as soon as I got back, I received a text, and it said, how was annual conference? And then in the next line, it said, in five words. So I thought, and then I text back. I said, profoundly moved emotionally and spiritually. It was, she really started me thinking, five words or less. Remember when we were younger, you have to say something 25 words or less? Well, she said five. It was a challenge. But I was really moved emotionally, because in a room, a large ballroom, there were 800 delegates. And yet, there were times when it was just phenomenal. I know that emotionally I was impacted by the fact that next year at the General Conference, when all delegates from all the United Methodist Churches will meet, they're going to be weighed down with the issue, and they'll vote upon the inclusion issue. And this was impacted at the conference because eight churches sought approval to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church. That means withdraw, get out of the denomination. And probably, I'm sure that one of the issues was the inclusion. And yet the theme of the General Conference was come to the table. And then you see that we're wearing shirts. And Alyssa will speak to the shirts and says, urgency, you can read. It's not enough. And then on the back it says, BUMC, United Methodist Church, change. And there will be changes, because in the theme of the conference, come to the table, it made you think and reflect who are coming to the table and who should be at the table. And so I was emotionally involved when eight churches out of 300-odd churches in the conference petitioned to disavow. And so was this the tip of the iceberg? I don't know. But it will be an issue that will be coming forward in the next year. And I was emotionally impacted by it. Another instance is we broke down into smaller committees. There were eight sessions, legislative committees, and there were about 50 people in the room. And one of the issues we had to vote upon was whether or not there should be a 1.5% increase, so it would be the minimum wage of pastors. That affected me, too, emotionally, because there are two sides of the story. Some people say that in some instances it's an insult to the clergy to be offered 1.5% minimum, payments for a salary when the cost of living is 8.7%. But yet, there are churches smaller than ours that are struggling financially. And then for them to meet the minimum wage, so to speak, it can pose hardships on them. In some instances, some churches would have to close, some combined and merged in order to pay for the salary of the clergy. So that I was emotionally involved with that issue. And then I was also emotionally involved when you saw from the slides the picture there, the ordination ceremony. I didn't know there's so many levels of being, a clergy. But all of a sudden, the pageantry and the color, but more importantly, the conviction, the facial expression on the people who were giving their lives to God. And what is it that moved me? And yet I have to think about, you know, here are these people being ordained, and yet they'll have the practical matters of how will they fill their gas tanks and how will they pay to fill. So I was emotionally involved there. But spiritually, I think it was powerful for me, because in a room with 800 people, there were times when I felt that there was the presence of purpose, whether you call it the presence of God or whatever. But yet, the feeling of spirituality was there. I hadn't felt that way in years. Two times in my life, I can actually think of times when I spiritually felt moved. One was with the assassination of JFK. You could see it, you can feel it across the country. And then after 9/11, the sense of purpose, momentary as it was for days, but you could feel that bond. And in that room of 800 people, there were times when I could feel it. So it meant a lot to me to be a lay delegate. And there were issues that were there. But then when we came back, Pastor Paul, and he's amazing. Every so often on my phone, how are you doing? How's the conference going? You know, you'd see me in a break. It's all right? Anything I can do for you? And I, overly gracious. And I said, yeah. And he was probably saying, he's only saying one word. Fine, good. How is he really feeling? Well, I said, yeah, I'm good. But then when we got back from conference, he asked me, you know, I said, Pastor, next year, do not call me. And then I could see in his face that he, But I went on to say, don't call me because I'm going to be the first to volunteer. But if you have someone else that you want to send, that's fine with me. You do that. But I want you to know, you don't have to worry about calling me. I'm there if you want me. So again, I was profoundly moved emotionally and spiritually. So, Alyssa, you can.
So, I am a legislation junkie. I love legislation. And so that's the part that I chose to take. And before I started my report, there is one piece of legislation that did not make it to a vote because we ran out of time. It was called Stop the Bleed. And it was legislation where we were all going to be trained on how to handle a mass shooting event and literally stop people from bleeding. And the reason I'm bringing this up right now is because there was a mass shooting last night in Willowbrook, and one person died and 20 people were injured. So it's one of those things that we're hearing way too much of. So I do want to keep people in Willowbrook in our prayers today. So like I said, I'm doing the legislation part of it. Frank went for the first time and told you about his experience. This was my, I was figuring out, I think it was my 20th, and exactly the reasons that he said are why I continue to go, because it is an incredible experience. I've gone in several different capacities, and it's energizing. It really is. So, legislation. We passed quite a few different pieces of legislation, and actually most of them went through without much conversation at all. We get into legislative groups. Those groups will give their stamp of approval or disapproval on something, and then it goes on a consent calendar before the whole conference, and almost everything went through on the consent calendar. Some items that we always have to do, special Sundays, those passed, things like Peace with Justice Sunday and those kinds of things that we celebrate here. There was a sizable increase in the health insurance plan. It was 11 or 13%. Yeah, 13. I was thinking it was 13. But there was a sizable increase in the health insurance plan. The budget went through with some revisions, and I'll talk about those in a minute. We also closed three churches, not the disaffiliations, but just closed because they had decreased membership so much, they weren't self-supporting, that kind of thing. And one of those churches that we voted to bless the close of was Trinity here in Sterling. As Frank said, we voted on the disaffiliation of eight churches. There were a number more, I believe 12 started the process and eight saw it to conclusion. So we voted to bless them on their way as they find a different path. We also had a new bishop this year. This is our third bishop in 4 years. And I thought that he did an exceptional job leading us through legislation. Bishop has to do the Robert's Rules of Order, make sure that everybody gets heard and things like that, and I thought he did an exceptional job doing that fairly and with love. So I was really impressed with that. This is annual conference. There's also a thing called jurisdictional conference, which is churches in our area, 13 conferences around us. And then there's general conference, which is the worldwide. And different types of legislation come to the surface depending on how close we are to general conference. And next year will be the year that all of the general conference things happen. So this year it was more social justice centered. We saw a lot of social justice things come to the surface. So those that passed, I'll read off the ones that passed. Affirmation of the queer delegates call to center justice and empowerment for LGBTQIA plus people in the UMC. Concerning the rise of child labor in the USA, concerning the current state of attacks on transgender people in the United States, support of a parole pathway for Illinois, in support of the Pretrial Fairness Act, supporting creating a U.S. regional conference, supporting the removal of discriminatory policies, standing with our immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers, and a resolution in response to the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and identifying and opposing apartheid in the Holy Land. If you're interested in any of those pieces of legislation and what they specifically say, they're on the conference website, which is umcnic.org. The legislation that Frank mentioned also that got the most conversation was the minimum compensation. It was brought up one day, they tabled it, sent it back to a committee to go over, they brought back their next offer, and then we debated from the floor. And it by far got the most conversation. The minimum compensation currently is at $37,500. And as Frank said, they were proposing a 1.5% increase. And Social Security has an 8.75% increase. With an 8.75% increase, our pastors would qualify for SNAP benefits for a family of four. And it is very, very difficult to take people who have a master's degree and send them out into a job where they can't make a living wage. But it's also very hard to tell churches you need to come up with enough money to pay them a living wage when some churches are struggling financially. So we did have a long conversation on it. Each of the disaffiliating churches has to pay in a certain amount of money, and most of it went into congregational development and redevelopment. And so we ended up at the end voting in an 8.75% increase. If churches were in a position where that would put them in a hardship, then the conference would pay that increase. So it did not go on the burden of the churches. So our new minimum compensation did have an 8.75% increase. There is a task force of 11 people who will study long-term compensation and also look around us at the jurisdictional churches to see what minimum compensation is around us so that we can have a plan other than year-to-year vote in some amount of money. These shirts. So there is a group that is, it's sort of like our ad council here in church. They are tasked with looking over the programs that the church is offering, making sure that communication gets out to local churches and listening to communication coming back from local churches, and just sort of being the communication center for our programs that we have within the church. The outgoing chair of that had her report, and she cautioned us about complacency and how there has been complacency in our conference, in the United Methodist Church, that change is coming and we need to step up and be part of that change instead of watch that change go by. So she gave an impassioned speech about not being complacent, and then gave every delegate that was at annual conference a shirt. So that is where we got these shirts from the, it's called the Shepherding Team, from the Shepherding Team report.
Thank you, Frank. And Elisa, thank you. Ick. So I said, maybe 5 minutes? You know, I can talk about the annual conference for about an hour. So if you go more than 5 minutes, I will kind of reduce some part. So it's not going to be about 1 hour, okay? And he mentioned about John F. Kennedy. I thought he read my mind, because I'm going to talk about John F. Kennedy next week. You know, we have seen and heard so many news about the church nationwide. The church has been declining, especially during the pandemic. So to be honest with you, I thought we would have less number of people at the annual conference. So 2 weeks ago, before the annual conference, I said, maybe we will have about 600, maybe 650, because usually we have 700. Voila, I was wrong. We had 850 people. That was the largest number in recent years. And I was really surprised. And I could feel that people are yearning for revival and hope for the future. And I could see and enjoy people's joy and excitement. You know, Frank talked about his first experience, and Elisa talked about legislation, and I want to talk something else. You know, in our ordination service, we witnessed the consecration of eight people, eight individuals, seven elders, and one deacon. And we have three candidates. They became commissioned elders, which means one of them will be coming to our church, maybe in 10 years, who knows? They will be the pastor of this beautiful church. And these ordination and commissions, that talk a lot about God's work in the church. Still, we find many people who has called. God has called many people to do the ministry as their pastor, and we are continuing God's work. Last week, I was honored to attend the Florida Annual Conference ordination service. They had a really, really tough season. Florida Annual Conference, they have experienced the loss of over 100 local churches as they have chosen to leave our denomination. But even in the face of these departures, they were uplifted by the unwavering faith and hope and the joy of excitement for the future was so clear as they welcomed 15 newly ordained clergies and over 20 commissioned individuals. With denominational upheaval, concerns and confusion may have plagued the heart of many, maybe many of our church members and news media about our denomination. How many churches are leaving, and so many rumors and misinformation may have caused anxiety. It is true, some churches have chosen to leave. Yes, there have been reports of thousands making such decision. But we find the majority, 84% to be precise, have decided to continue the beautiful legacy of the United Methodist Church and its sacred ministry. The 16% living mostly consist of churches from a few select conferences such as Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. In our conference, only 8 of them, a mere 2%, have chosen to leave. In our district, among 86 churches, only one is leaving, Fenton UMC, which is about 30 minutes from us. And now, they are Fenton Church. There have been so many rumors about our denomination last year and 2 years ago. Some said, UMC doesn't believe in Jesus. Oh, excuse me. Some said, UMC doesn't believe in the triune God. UMC doesn't believe in Jesus' resurrection and the work of the Holy Spirit. So your church should leave UMC and join GMC. My response was, excuse me. Those are the core of the Christian belief. And what am I going to preach without those? Core belief. That's why I have intensely preached since last year on the divine nature of Jesus and his resurrection and John's gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, because those, essential belief defines who we are. And we have the scripture reading of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. I love this story. We can see Jesus' compassion. He has full of compassion for those gathering around him, each one of them. Probably I will talk about it, this story. I think I can make a sermon series with that. Compassion of Jesus, economic justice, and political justice, and discipleship, and transformation. It's a beautiful story. But today I just want to talk about two disciples, their response to Jesus. Philip says, come on, Jesus. Are you sure? There are so many. It's going to cost a lot, maybe $20,000. Oh, maybe $30,000 for one meal. We don't have that budget, extra budget. Nope. But Andrew, Simon's brother, he said, Jesus, this boy has some bread and fish. I don't think we can feed all the people with this small amount. It's mission impossible. You know, it ain't be easy. But can you do something? Philip and Andrew, which one are you more like? Philip and Andrew. I'm not blaming Philip because I'm more like Philip. We have so many things to take care of in our church, in our district, and conference, and general conference. Our church? Yes, we have so many bills to take care of, and we have many steps to continue our ministry, financial challenge. And we used to have 120 attendance on average before the pandemic. Now, we have between 95 to 100 for the first half of this year, which is not that bad compared to other churches. But I want to grow both in worship and ministry more than before the pandemic. And I believe God will lead us. You have heard so many information from annual conference. Yes, some will affect our body, and we are part of it. And what we need is, we believe in God. Sometimes, just like me, Philip, try to work, but we need Andrea. And I believe God will lead us when we bring what we have before God, just like Andrea, and do our best working together with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then do you still have some concern and anxiety about our denomination and the future of our church? I don't. Not at all. And we find so many different pictures of God in the Bible. God is our creator. God is our redeemer. God is our guidance. And God is our good mother and good father. And God is walking with us and helping us navigate our faith journey. That is who we are. Amen. If you have any question about the annual conference, you can find me or Lisa and Frank anytime. Yeah, we are ready to answer. I know you have tons of questions. And when you find them, please say thank you for your ministry. It's a huge commitment for 3 days, all day long, from early morning to the end. Sometimes we need to take care of hard stuff because it is our body, it is our church, and Jesus wants us to carry the body of Jesus Christ. Has called us to continue to do God's work. As we receive the bread and wine, we say, Lord, lead us, guide us. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, bless each one of us. And bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. God, make these elements the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Amen. Stand here. Now we make a space. It's a part of our ministry. It makes us who we are. It guides us our path to the future, you know? I think we are good with our conference. And I believe we are good with our church. We have hope in Christ. And we love one another. And we love to do God's work both inside the church and outside the church. What else do we need? Right? And we feel God in our lives. God's work. This moment, with all the gratitude for God has done in our lives, in our church, in our conference, and beyond, we take time, give thanks to God, and present our time, talent, and resource to God with the hope God will lead us. Amen. Thank you.
Come on. I know.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Loving God, what shall we return to you for your great bounty in our lives? Your generosity knows no limits. Your loving compassion pours into our hearts and our very beings. We thank you. We call upon you, trusting your love. We offer you all that we have and all that we are, hoping for your glory and desiring your kingdom. Amen. Our closing hymn is Sweet, Sweet Spirit, number 334.
Standing and receive the benediction. As we go into the Word, then let us go boldly in God the Creator. And we go and proclaim the good news of love, good news of mercy, grace, forgiveness, compassion, and justice, and the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. Let us go. Go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with faith and hope. May God be present, guide you, and empower you today, tomorrow, and more. Amen.